ESPN's Turon Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Turon Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD. TD, good morning. Thanks for being with us. How we doing?
All right, man. Life is good, man. Good morning.
Thanks for taking time to be with us. So, TD, I want to start on the Travis Hunter front. We talked with Stilly about Travis Hunter earlier. We've had a lot of different people weigh in on the role that he could play in the NFL. I heard you yesterday on the Power Hour talking about him being playmaker. That's how you would define Travis Hunter, what he could be in the NFL. How do you view him offensively and how that could translate in the NFL? And how do you view him at corner and how that could translate to the NFL?
Yeah, well, I mean, when I watch him, I get more excited when I see him on offense. He's solid as a corner. I don't know that he's top five pick as a corner, right? You're looking at some corners like Deion, like Champ Bailey, like these are guys that were picked early and had an impact. I don't know that Travis Hunter is that defensively, but you look at him offensively. Again, I don't call him a WR, an RB. It's PM. He's a playmaker. And for me, I would have him line up at X, at Z, at slot, in the backfield. And for sure, every single return that's made, he's going to be on the receiving end of it. That's how I would look at it.
Well, I'm definitely deferring to you in turn. I mean, you know, I watched him play at Colorado, but man, there were a few plays that stick out where his recovery speed and change of direction at corner, I thought was incredible. But when you just on that side of the ball, where is it that you feel he's lacking or just not elite?
You know, I think it's more just, you look at some of the big games that you know, teams have had against him. I believe it was Arizona State, you know, a receiver there. He had a big – and there were a few big games. So it's not necessarily, like, any particular traits or anything like that. I just think that he could have more of an impact on the game, like, as a playmaker as opposed to defense. I don't think that, you know, he's – lacking at all physically or anything like that, but he's just not as impactful of a player to me on defense.
So TD, with that in mind, like, you know, we just don't see guys very often in the NFL play on both sides of the ball. Obviously, you know, he did that in college at a really high level. Do you think that that's feasible for him at the NFL level? Do you, like, if you're the Titans viewing this, how would you view the idea if you're Brian Callahan, Chad Brinker, and everybody making decisions of him playing on both sides of the football?
Yeah, well, you know, you got that guy, Legarius Sneed, getting a lot of money, and you gave up a third-round pick to get him a swap seventh-round picks last year. So he's the guy that I think it should start with at corner if I'm the Titans. And then you got Chidobe Awuzie and Jarvis Brownlee Jr., who I think is going to be very similar as far as the ability to Sneed. You know, so those are guys, and don't forget Daryl Baker. So long story short, you know, they're pretty well stacked at corner. I think Travis Hunter could come in and, you know, he could be a guy in that rotation, maybe give him the nickel spot. No, forgot about Roger McCreary as well. So I wouldn't play him much at corner. I think the, you know, you look at him and you want his impact, just, you know, playmaking ability.
John Glenn right now, could they bring Trey Avery back? Sorry, I had to do it. Had to do it, John, had to do it. All right, so yeah. TD, so if this becomes Packers South with the front office, we were talking earlier about, you know, what is – because when I think of the quote-unquote Packers way, I mean, I just – really the only thing that comes to mind is just the quarterback long-term development and the fact that they've – I mean, like, if Jordan Love keeps progressing, that's just an absurd run, obviously, from Favre, Rodgers, Love. But other than that, I don't know what that would really mean. And also, with all of the leftover components, you know, other than, like, Rand and Anthony Robinson, I mean, basically, isn't this still kind of like the 49ers model? How would you compare those two, and what comes to mind for you if we're talking about, like, sort of a Green Bay approach?
Yeah, for me, the Green Bay approach is really – it really does stick to what Chad Brinker – and it's not like earth-moving renewal of a idea or anything, you know, the draft, develop, retain. But when I think of the Green Bay Packers, you know, I think of sound drafting, and I think of being conservative in the free agent market, other than, you know, a signing here or there. Like, you look at when they signed Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith, you know, they've done some moves, but they've always been pretty good and solid. Like Charles Woodson, when they signed him, you know, they've made good moves free agent wise, but it's rarely an earth-breaking one. So that's what I look at with the Packers. And also, if they could get the Packer way down here, that would be really good, because this organization hasn't seen consistent quarterback play in a while. And, you know, they drafted two quarterbacks in the first round, you know, in like a 20-year span. And those are pretty much the only offensive players they drafted in the first, but it's worked out pretty well for them. So that's why I look there. The 49ers, we know what it is. I mean, it's they make the free agent moves. It's just very, very sound business. That's how the 49ers do. But I do think it's going to be Green Bay South. I could see, you know, John Eric Sullivan getting it maybe today, getting named that position, the GM position. And I would imagine, I'm pretty sure there's going to be some other movement there as far as Green Bay influence being influxed into the organization.
So, TD, as you look at some of the potential free agents that the Titans are going to have there, be that an NWI, a Dylan Raidens, like, how do you view some decisions that they've got with guys already on the roster? Obviously, the majority of the conversation this offseason is going to be who can they go add that's not already here. Like, how important is it to retain NWI? Do you think that Dylan Raidens is some sort of priority for them this offseason? How do you view kind of what they've got from that standpoint?
Yeah, you know, I'll start with Raidens, and that's a perfect example of the draft, develop, retain, right? They didn't draft him this front office now, but he was a second-round pick, right? And he developed. He finally got, hey, you're playing this position, and he gave you pretty decent play. And he's not going to be expensive, so that's a good example. You know, Nick Westbrook, Ikeena, you know, he's another one. You know, and I know Rex Rhodes is smiling, you know, when we say this, because that's his guy. But
Max,
I mean,
deal.
Look, undrafted free agent, you know, and they developed him. And it's funny, locker room cleaner, I was talking to him about how much he progressed, you know, to where he was having fights with the football when he first got here. And now it's like, you know, he and the football are – they're one. You know, he catches pretty much everything thrown his way. So I think he is another guy that you got to look at retaining. You look at some of the other ones. I think Sebastian Joseph Day is another one that they need to bring back, because he's been a, you know, quiet but solid, steady player for them throughout the year. So those are three that come to mind quickly. I'm sure there's others that will pop up, but those three for sure.
So we've talked a lot, TD, this week about the veteran QB route, if that is what the Titans do. And a lot of the discussion centers around Rodgers and Cousins. But I have thrown out there that just because there still can be growth, progress, he's young, meat on the bone, and also, well, frankly, I think his skill set, maybe if you can't totally fix the offensive line, he can minimize some of that. Justin Fields, what do you think about Justin Fields as an option? Is he a viable option to be a QB1 in this league at this point?
Well, I think that would really fall into the second part of their vision, the develop part. There was a point early when the offseason started, I felt that he was the best option. You know, but that was back when I thought Callahan was going to have some you know, leeway, some a little right. bit of a strip to a running strip to take off of, you know, but I don't think that's there. So I wouldn't go that route. I think he could be a really good player and a playmaker. And as you said, you know, making things happen with his legs if need be. And he had good play there in Chicago, but I wouldn't go that route. If I'm going veteran quarterback, you know, yeah, there's not really much you could choose from, to be honest with you. So that's a tough route to go.
TD, a two-parter for you here as we kind of close this off. Number one, what do you make of the fact that we've not really heard anything about the Titans coaching staff yet in terms of potential changes that could be made? And number two, what do you make of the idea of Deion Sanders potentially being the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, I'll start with Deion and the Cowboys. But I tell you what, if you're a Titans fan, you are glued to that situation because you already know he's going to want to coach his son, right?
Oh, yeah.
We'll see, you know, how you could put a deal together to be able to, you know, have heaven and earth move to make it happen. But then you still got to get a prime player in the draft. So that's going to be a whole tough situation. I think I'm curious, though, will his act, not act, I don't want to call it that, will his approach to coaching, will that work in the league? You know, will he be able to motivate these guys? I think he will, because you look, you know, a lot of these younger players, they look up to Deion, right? And so I think that would be good, and he could not motivate them, but his message would go through. So it's just going to depend on the staff he puts together, you know. But as far as the other one, I forgot the other question. My apologies.
Just the fact that we've not really heard anything to this point on the future of the Titans
right.
staff.
Got you. Well, yeah, well, you know, the Broncos, they made a move, you know, within the last few hours. So you do have that. I think a part of it could be just, hey, there's still teams in the playoffs. Most of the time, the good teams have good coaches. So there could be guys that, you know, you might want to promote, you know, maybe a quarterback or you know, a position coach to another type of role or something like that. You know, there's different things. And also waiting to see what the GM does, right? You know, I'm sure the GM is going to want his input in the coaching staff. And that would probably, if I was a GM, I would, you know, especially with some of the issues that they had, I would want something to do with that and have some input. So there's still more collaboration to be done.
Yeah, absolutely. Great stuff as always, TD. By the way, who you got between Buffalo and Baltimore? I can't wait for that game this weekend.
Oh, come on, man. You know, the DH-22 train. Like, oh, yeah. I'm taking that to New Orleans. No, I'm going with them. I mean, they got the MVP in Lamar Jackson. You know, Zay Flowers, he hasn't practiced all week, but and Derrick Henry, and the defense is playing a lot better. I watched that Nate Wiggins and Keon Coleman matchup. That's one that carry over from the ACC, and I know those guys have a little personal thing because I talked to both of them about each other, and, yeah, they don't like each other.
I'm looking forward to it. TD, great stuff, man. Have a good weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, for sure. Take care.
Teron Davenport joins us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock here on the program. We'll react to what TD had to say coming up next. And we've got Pigskin Pick'em coming your way at 8:30. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie and Rex Road, sponsored by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you. Appreciate TD for being with us in the last segment. Joe, I think it's safe to say you can put TD on team offense for Travis Hunter at the NFL level.
Yeah, well, he's talking to me. You know, Jared says something. I'm like, yeah, get out of here. You shut up. And TD, I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. So if he's right, and I mean, look, even if Travis Hunter could be like a good to great corner, but he's equal or better as a receiver, then I'm team offense too. That's fine. It's just I've watched him and thought I saw generational corner, really good receiver. And you look, Robbie, I mean, very few of my evaluations of college players have been wrong.
That's true.
Going to the NFL, for the most part, you know, it's pretty astounding how accurate I am. No, it's not. So he talked me into it. Now, he also maybe talked me into Abdul Carter, if you're not going QB, because I don't know.
It sounds like you're down on Travis Hunter at wide receiver.
Well, I'm not down on it. I think he'll, if that's what he plays in the NFL, I think he'll be a productive receiver. I just have questions still. And I didn't hear from TD. Yeah, he's going to be one of the top guys in the league. And maybe he thinks that, but I just didn't hear that in that segment. And if I just really, to me, the value of taking him that high then would be in actually playing both sides. And the more you think about the pounding that you take in this league, you are just putting yourself up for injury twice as much as anybody else. And in this league, how are you not going to get injured then? You know, I think that's really the bottom line of why we never see it. So yeah, Abdul Carter.
Wow. Jeez, he's just off the Travis Hunter train immediately.
This show has soured me on Travis Hunter. No, I'm fascinated by the whole process, and I'm really interested to see the range of opinions on what he will be, how he performs. If he may not do anything in India, but that's the problem too, right? Yeah.
That's the other
like
thing.
The top players probably, you know, like
does it really
year.
Serve him well to do it?
Yeah, but I'd love him to go out there and run like a 4.19. Yeah. You know, like, that'd be amazing. But yeah, he probably won't run. Just like it's not like it actually hurt Marvin Harrison. Every time someone doesn't, someone's like, "Oh, that's that." A lot of GMs aren't going to like that. I'm like, "Yeah, I bet you that he gets drafted high." Yep, he's fine.
Cameron says people are confusing Hunter being good at two positions for being great at one position. I bring up the draft evaluation part of this. I'm really interested to see. Like, do teams think that he's just really, really darn good at corner and at receiver? Or do they think he has the potential to be great at one and or both of them? Like, that's what's going to be interesting to find out here. Like, if he's real, let's say he's a good receiver, a productive receiver in the National Football League, but he's not one of the top guys, and he's a good corner in the league, and, you know, you feel good about having him on the field, but he's not a top guy. Is that worth the number one overall pick? Let's say he doesn't play both sides of the ball, but you feel like he's an elite wide receiver. Is that worth the number one overall pick? Like, it's going to be really interesting to see
how elite,
how teams
how
view
elite.
This. Yeah, exactly.
It does sound fun and important around here to have an elite receiver. If he truly was an elite, the Titans used to have one. Now, if he is that, and then what does that do to help out Calvin Ridley? You know,
right.
It could have a pretty good effect on everything, including whoever is actually throwing passes for this team.
Yeah, it could. And, you know, I thought, you know, the Deion stuff continues to be interesting. I guess until there's a resolution there for the Cowboys, we'll see what that process ultimately ends up looking like. But, like, if you're a Titans fan, like, I think you're probably rooting for Deion, beyond just the fun of it, to be the head coach of the Cowboys, because – like, I think if you're the Titans, you want as many options as humanly possible. Like, you want as many options as possible for you to make the, you know, the most informed, best decision for your franchise. And look, it could get as simple as they get through this evaluation and they say, you know what? We love Cam Ward. And Cam Ward's our pick, and it doesn't really matter what anybody else thinks or what anybody else offers. We're picking Cam Ward. It could be that by the end of this. But I think I do think there's a potential there if Deion becomes the head coach of the Cowboys for you to have some options if he is hell-bent on having Shador as his quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, I think you're a Titans fan rooting for that, unless you're the Titans fan who's like, Shador Sanders is my QB1. Well, I got to have him, right?
You can still take him if you're the Titans. You can say, that's great, Deion. I'm glad you want him.
Yeah, I'm sure that would go well.
I'm sure that wouldn't be a disaster at all.
Yeah, it's also interesting just on the Deion front. Like, Charles threw cold water on that the other day. I still have a hard time believing that, like the Schefter involvement here is just Deion, like, trying to get himself a raise. You know what I mean? Like, it just it seems like there's a little more to it than, oh, my God, this is Looney Tunes. You're not even living in the real world that this could happen. I think it's a little more real than that.
I mean, I think so too. But again, like, they're going to go through the process here. Are there other candidates that make more sense for that job right now? Because look, let's say Deion takes the job. You still have to figure out the Dak Prescott thing, right? Like, that's a ton of dead money that you're getting rid of at that point, or he's your starting quarterback. Like, I mean, look, I guess there's the option that you could put together a package to trade up to number one overall that doesn't include Dak Prescott, and he can be your quarterback for a year or two, and Shador could sit. But, like, do you think that Deion Sanders is going to coach Shador to, like, sit for 2 years? I don't know. Like, I got a hard time believing that if he's on the roster.
Yeah, I don't know. But I will say this too, and – this is actually in support of Jared's cap take. You know, I've seen some people be like, I mean, the $100 million in dead money, like, it's absolutely, there's zero chance. That's not true. The cap is manipulable enough that it would, I mean, it's significant. It's real, and it hits you and it hurts you. And you are going to, again, with the cap, what happens is your mid-level players are the ones who end up somewhere else that you'd rather have them on your roster. You'd have some tough, but you can also do enough with this cap that they could talk themselves into it. So it's not a complete 100% forget about it situation, as huge as that number is.
I mean, Ed Werder did put it out there yesterday that he said that he would almost certainly accept it if Jerry Jones offers him the job, and that those around Deion are encouraging him to pursue it, and that Jerry Jones is enamored with the idea. That's what Ed Werder had to say. He's been around Cowboys for a long time.
Well, but also Deion. You know, Ed Werder might be the most – I mean, I guess you say like Schefter too or Rappaport, but, I mean, he has done a lot around Deion too, so that's interesting.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Pigskin Pick'em coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. We're getting down to crunch time in the Pigskin Pick'em competition here on the program. Divisional weekend in the NFL playoffs. The national championship game coming up in college football. Only a few more weeks left in the competition. Not a great week for yours truly. I went 1-5 this week with no lock, which is going to make it very difficult for me to come back in this competition. I'm not giving up. Still some time left. But 1-5, not what I was looking for. Nick Kieser, 4-2 with his lock this week. So a nice week from Kieser. Joe Rexroad, also 4-2, did not land the lock, which I believe was the Minnesota Vikings this week. So,
yep.
Sam Darnold letting you down. Bringing the overall standings, Nick Kieser, 65-55, 14-6 on his locks, which is the difference, 79 points. Joe Rexroad, 69-51 overall, 9-11 on his locks, 78 points. So 1 point of separation between Rexroad and Kieser. I'm 63-57, 7-13 on my locks, abysmal, 70 points. 9 back of Kieser for the lead. A lot of work to do in this competition.
You may be playing spoiler, so it's Nick and me, maybe. But who knows? If
easy,
you destroy us this
easy.
Week.
Calm down. Calm down. There's still some time left in this
competition. There's time. All right. I like the optimism.
We begin with the Texans and the Chiefs. The Chiefs, an 8.5 point favorite at home in this matchup. Nick Kieser, you are in first place. We begin with you.
Ah, yes. Well, I'll make this real easy. I'm going to go with Kansas City. I guess Kansas City should have some extra dad mojo from Patrick Mahomes, who had their second kid. So, cool. We'll go with Mahomes.
I believe it's the third kid.
Is it the third? Wow. Oh, wow.
Kansas City favored by 8.5. Joe Rexroad, who you got in this one?
I think the Chiefs are going to win by a touchdown. And, you know, I don't know that it's going to be a nail biter, but I really think the Texans found something last week. I think their defense can absolutely get a lot of stops in this game. So I'll take the Texans and those points.
I will also take the Texans and those points. And you heard it here. The Texans are winning. Texans are going to win this game outright.
Spicy.
The Kansas City three-peat comes to an end this weekend. Give me Houston to win the game outright. The Commanders and the Lions. Lions favored by 8.5 in the matchup at home. Joe Rexroad, your beloved Detroit Lions. We begin with you.
Commanders lock. Commanders went outright.
Guaranteed.
Look, and I'm already projecting the miserable family, but it's just a bad matchup. Lions want to play man, and they want to get after a QB like they did against Darnold, and you cannot play man against Jaden Daniels. I mean, you do it at your own risk. You can spy him all you want. He's going to outrun the spy. It's a bad matchup. And the Commanders are going to just go up and down the field and win a close game.
Lions lock. Lions win by 3 touchdowns in this game. They cannot be stopped offensively. They're going to do whatever they want on the offensive side of the ball. Give me the Detroit Lions. I'm locking down in this matchup.
A mighty team that will not yield.
Nick Kieser, Lions, favored by 8.5.
I am also taking the Lions. Hey, I want to see Montgomery go out there and ball, Joe. What do you think?
Yeah, it's big that he's coming back. I mean, the Lions' offense will be fine. They'll score in the 30s, but Washington might hit 40 in this one.
The Rams and the Eagles coming up on Sunday in the divisional matchup in Philadelphia. Eagles favored by 6.5 in this one. I'm going Rams. I think Rams win. I'm going Rams to win the game and advance to the NFC title game. Look, the Packers did a lot of shooting themselves in the foot in the last game. I didn't think the Eagles played particularly well on the offensive side of the ball. I think the Rams will make them pay for it. Give me the Rams plus the 6.5 and the Rams to win outright. Nick Kuechly, Eagles, favored by 6.5.
Okay, all right. I like some optimism here for you, and I like the head-to-head matchup here. I'm going to go with the Eagles in this one. I want to see Saquon absolutely run all over the Rams. The Rams had a good defense the other week, but I think the Eagles get it done.
Joe Rexroad, Eagles, favored by 6.5 in this matchup.
Yeah, I'm on – I think your analysis is good, but I just think this is where home field matters in the playoffs. And I agree. I think Saquon makes the difference, and the Eagles win by 7-10. Give me the Eagles.
The game of the weekend in the NFL, Baltimore taking on Buffalo. The Ravens, a 1.5-point favorite on the road, taking on the Bills. Nick Kuechly, we begin with you.
I am locking down on Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills this weekend, fellas. In the snow.
Very confident about Josh Allen and the Bills there. Ravens did win by 25 in this matchup earlier this year. Joe Rex wrote, Ravens favored by 1.5.
I mean, this one is so freaking tough, man. I almost feel like the fact that the Ravens are favored is almost a reason to pick the Bills because you're looking for any edge you can find. But you know what? I'm going with the Ravens. I'm going to go with that running game, controlling the football between Lamar and Derrick Henry, and a classic game that lives up to the billing. Give me the Ravens.
Give me the Buffalo Bills. I'll take the Buffalo Bills to win outright plus the 1.5. I think they win by a field goal in this game. So I'll take Buffalo plus the 1.5. The national title game in college football coming up on Monday. Ohio State and Notre Dame. Ohio State an 8.5-point favorite in this matchup. Joe Rexroad, we begin with you.
I think the Buckeyes win a thriller 24-23, which means give me the Fighting Irish.
Going with Notre Dame plus the 8.5 in this matchup. Give me Ohio State minus 8.5. Unfortunately, I think we're going to be in for a dud in this one. Notre Dame's got some injuries that they're battling right now, and I think Ohio State's offense is going to be too much. So I'll go Ohio State minus the 8.5. Nick Kuechly, who you got in this matchup?
Yeah, ditto to what you said. I just don't think the Irish have it in them to win this one whatsoever. So give me the Buckeyes in this one. I hope it's a little more exciting than what I anticipate in watching, but I think the Buckeyes get the job done.
Ohio State Notre Dame over under, which is 46.5. I'll start on this one. Give me the over. I think it's going to be close, but give me the over in this matchup, 46.5. Nick Kuechly, over under, 46.5.
I'll take the over as well.
Joe Rexroad, over under, 46.5.
Well, my predicted score was 24-23, so I guess I have to be consistent, and I'll take the over, too. It's the over across the board.
Wow, look at you. You're in tune. Did you know what the over-under was before you predicted that score?
I did not.
Wow. You're like those experts in Vegas. What does that mean?
I don't know. How come it never makes me any money?
Well, look.
But it might make me a pizza.
If you would have just followed, if you would have just straight up bet this year the way your record has gone in this competition, you'd be fine. You're 69-51 overall.
That is true, man. So wait a minute. I was about to say that's 70%, but that's how dumb I am at math because that would be 69-31 would be.
Definitely not.
But still,
70%.
But it's like 60-ish, right?
It's somewhere in that neighborhood. I don't know.
I'm going to do the math just to make sure
have
it accurate.
Do math right off the top of my head on the air, which I got into this business because I was told there was no math.
Yes.
It's a true story.
Hold on. It's 58%. Okay, 58%.
If you round that. Round up.
Sure.
A little aggressively, you can get to 70% out of that.
Hey, I mean, I'll take it. Believe me, it's not like this every year.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Our final thoughts on the weekend in the NFL playoffs, the college football national championship game, some more of your Titans questions to get to as well. We'll get into all that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. We are taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines. I got some tickets to give away to see MTSU men's basketball take on Western Kentucky tomorrow night. Tip off at 6 o'clock.
Be caller 5-615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to see MTSU men's basketball take on Western Kentucky coming up tomorrow night. Some thoughts to get to on the text line. Joe, an interesting question here from Michael and Madison. When's the last time both professional teams in one city had the number one overall pick in the same year? That would be something worth looking into.
That is. I think that's actually – I love that question, and I think that's a good one to maybe get into next week. Look into that a little bit. It's not really where you want to be, but – I mean, it kind of at least makes the offseason more fun. But here's another
question.
I
would have to think that, like, the Browns and the Cavs at some point here have overlapped. I'd have to think.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good call. I mean, look, Detroit had a heck of a run of bad everything. I mean, Red Wings, Pistons, Lions, Tigers were all real bad for a while. So, yeah, there's a few markets that we can look at. Another quick one I want to throw out, Robbie, since the show's almost over. Someone on the text line angrily said she was done with the show because we didn't mention this, but this is the biggest Vandy-Tennessee men's basketball matchup in quite a while coming up tomorrow at Memorial Gymnasium, which, according to the texter, the place is all sold out. So, you know, a little bit of love for college hoops.
Who said that?
I forget her name, but it's on there. She's like, "You guys talking Titans, and we have the biggest game in this ever. Goodbye." And I'm like, you know what? I'm with you. I almost left with her because you're such a college basketball hater.
Andy Ben on the text line has weighed in. Says, I know you guys need to entertain all avenues for the Titans with their first overall pick to provide more topics to discuss, but it's highly likely that they'll just end up taking Ward or Sanders. Callahan wants his own hand-picked young quarterback. This is from Andy Ben on the text line. Maybe. That could be the route they go. I also, like, if I'm Brian Callahan, it would probably behoove me to do some winning next year. So does he feel like the rookie quarterback is the best route to do that? Does he have the choice in this draft when it comes down to the quarterback? Or are they just going to say, hey, Brian, you have fun coaching the football team. We're going to draft Shedeur Sanders, or we're going to go sign Aaron Rodgers. But we'll let you know what we decide to do. Thanks, Brian.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, the whole thing with, like, I'd love to know just the Brian Callahan. Well, first of all, his evaluation of quarterbacks is huge, right? But just his view on, like, either route in general and how it relates to his job. You know, the veteran route, you know, which is, like, if you're him, you probably have some comfort in the idea of, okay, possible to win, fix enough holes possible to win. But, like, if you went the rookie QB, do you feel like, well, then, okay, great, someone else gets this guy next year because, right? Or is it like, maybe does this buy me some time?
I mean, I think the buying some time thing is a dangerous proposition for anybody in this organization right now. It may be the right way to approach it, like, from just a pragmatic standpoint, but I just don't know how much that actually is going to be allowed to take place in this organization. You brought up Justin Fields with TD, and he kind of alluded to the same thing, right? Like, TD, like, if you've got a development project, you know, Justin Fields might be intriguing. Like, if you're looking to immediately win games next year, if you're Brian Callahan. Kind of sounded like TD was soured on the Justin Fields idea from that standpoint.
Yeah. Yeah, and I totally get that.
TD's just anti-Rex Road on all this.
Exactly. My takes are not aligning with TD's. It makes me feel uncomfortable. But I just, you know, the thing with Justin Fields with me is also, like, I just think that he has not been utilized. Like, if I'm him, if you want to stick and keep having any opportunity to be a starter and have any chance to, you know, continue that, I would like a team to use me more as a runner, you know, because he's deadly. But most of his running in the NFL has been of the scrambling variety. Like, I would, if I had him, I would look to do, like, build the offense a little bit more around that element because he's such a problem in that way. And maybe, you know, that takes a little bit of pressure off other aspects of the offense. Or maybe I just don't want to watch more quarterbacks crumble in the pocket as the Titans let free rushers in all day long.
Well, I mean, there is something to that. I'm talking myself more and more into Aaron Rodgers. I heard DVD talking about this yesterday. You know, Vingan listed six quarterbacks, and, like, they all ranked the six in terms of the veteran free agent options as to what they would most like to see. You know, Aaron Rodgers, D-Mace is in on the Aaron Rodgers part of this.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. You know, I get it. I think it could be passable. It would be wild from a lot of different perspectives if that's what happens. Someone brought up, I didn't see this, Robbie. Matthew Nashville brings up, I didn't read it, which I feel bad. I saw that we had this big story in The Athletic on Watson. The Titans were mentioned. Do you know what their
Deshaun Watson?
Did you have? Yeah.
No, I did not see that.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway. All right. Well, I'll check it out, Matthew. He says, why is it that the Titans always seem to get dragged into other teams' messes? And I didn't know what that was a reference to. So we'll check that out after the show.
We will.
Right after the show. And then when the show ends, the Titans will also announce all their coaching staff changes.
They will announce the coaching staff changes and the general manager, which I think a lot of people feel like it's going to be John Eric Sullivan of the Green Bay Packers. They've completed the second round of interviews, Joe. So I would assume a decision on the general manager front for the Titans coming very shortly.
Yes, and it'll be good because it's I've struggled to get too excited about the whole thing. If they do hire him, as a lot of people expect, there's going to be a whole reaction of, oh, here we go. It's just Brinker creating his own little playground with his buddies and all that stuff. And that's totally a fair reaction. But the bottom line is, we'll see. We'll see if they can bring in good players and start turning things around.
Yeah, we'll see what happens on that front. I think Buffalo and Baltimore, the best playoff game this weekend, Joe, at least the one I'm the most excited about. I'm hoping that what is traditionally, I think, the best round every year in the playoffs, the divisional round, hopefully it lives up to the billing this year. Although some of the lines, pretty significant this weekend.
Yeah, that's what's really interesting is that I agree. I think it's amazing. I think all four games have the potential to be tremendous. But there are big lines, especially for the NFL. Like if you just parachuted in without watching this season and looked at the lines, you'd think it actually looked like a bad weekend of football. I don't buy that at all. I think the Chiefs line, the Lions line, certainly are just too big, and I'm a little bit shocked that the Ravens are favored. But regardless, that's basically a pick'em game.
I've had this weird feeling about the Chiefs all week, and this is probably going to end up being a perfect example of me just being a moron, like a lot of us were last year, and thinking that they were going to lose, and then they just marched through the playoffs once again. But I've had the feeling all week, Joe, that Houston's going to go in there and win. And I can't explain why, but that's what I've thought.
Well, I think there's something to it. And I almost feel like if the Chiefs win this, then they're just going to win it all. But this is when you get them. And we do see a lot, like the divisional round, the team that won the week before, look at your Packers last year, right? If I'm not mistaken, didn't they? No, that's right. The Cowboys weren't the one seed, I guess.
They were two.
That's right. They were the two. But you do see that sometimes where the team, you know, we'll play well. The other team has that extra break. Maybe there's a little bit of rust. You know, the Titans sat there 3 years ago while the Bengals kind of grinded one out against the Raiders at home, and then they came in and won it. It happens sometimes. You sit there, and you're heavily favored. And I think the Texans completely flipped their entire vibe with that play that Stroud made on the fumbled snap. And they're a talented, dangerous team.
We'll have Chase and Big Joe for you coming up next. Hope everybody has a great weekend. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.